following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptist.net. Now here's Pastor Alan.
Do you know what a jump scare is? A jump scare is a technique that's used mainly in horror films. It usually, but not always, occurs toward the end of the film after the monster's been defeated and when you think the story's over and everybody's going to live happily ever after. The story's resolved. And then something startling happens that you didn't expect and you're thrown right back into that scary part of the film and it startles you. That's what a jump scare is. One of my favorites is the scene from the end of the movie Alien, in which Sigourney Weaver's character Ripley has just blown up the mothership, including the alien creature that has slowly killed the rest of the crew, and she's escaped herself on this shuttlecraft. And so she is getting ready to settle in for the long journey back to Earth, and she's getting this hibernation pod ready, and there's a little sweet music playing. You think everything is done, and she starts to climb into that pod, and behold! The alien was not blown up in the mothership. It's right there on the shuttlecraft with her. Now, I'm not going to spoil the ending for you. I mean, it's only been 45 years since it came out, so there may be still one or two of you who want to see it for yourselves. But you ever had a jump scare in real life? Every now and then, I walk my dog along Hickson Pike over here in Lakeside, and we go early in the mornings while it's still dark. And I really do try to be aware of my surroundings. Although I have to admit, most of the time I do have an earbud in one ear listening to a podcast to pass the time. And sometimes the traffic, when it's really heavy, can get really noisy through there. So there have been one or two times where we'll be going along and all of a sudden I'll just kind of glance over my shoulder and whoa, behold, there's a jogger right there behind us. Didn't see you coming. I almost took a swing at a guy once. That was scary because he startled me so much. I thought he was coming out of the bushes after us. In Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Joshua is preparing to lead the children of Israel in the conquest of this land called Canaan. And he's suddenly startled by something he didn't expect to see. Now, technically, it's not a jump scare, but it was an encounter that had a profound experience on Joshua and his leadership. And we're going to look at that this morning and see what it can teach us about what it means to follow God. So if you have a Bible handy, I encourage you to turn to Joshua chapter 5 as we read these three short verses here, starting at verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. First thing we can learn here is that sometimes God shows up in our circumstances in unexpected ways. Around the 15th century BC, the people of Israel crossed the Jordan River to begin conquering Canaan, and one of their first targets was the ancient city of Jericho, which is located about 8 miles west of the Jordan River. The Israelite leader, Joshua, is surveying the area around Jericho in preparation for that siege. And he's sitting there taking the lay of the land, and suddenly he notices this man standing across from him. Now, the man was apparently close enough to see, but far enough away that Joshua had to walk over to talk to him. And from the description in the text, there's really only two things about this man that caught Joshua's eye. One, he was just suddenly there. The word "behold" is intended to convey the suddenness with which Joshua noticed this man standing there. From Joshua's perspective, 1 minute there was no one there, and he turned back around, and boom, there he was. So that's a little unusual. But the other thing that caught his eye is this man was carrying a drawn sword. In other words, this man was armed for battle, and he meant business. Now, if you're a general preparing to lead your troops through hostile territory, and suddenly there's a man with a drawn sword standing in front of you, chances are you're probably going to want to check that out, right? So Joshua walks over to this mysterious man, and he challenges him. Basically, friend or foe, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And this mysterious man gave an even more mysterious answer. No. Doesn't that strike you as a little odd? I mean, after all, Joshua didn't exactly ask a yes or no question, did he? Now, we'll get to the significance of the man's answer in just a moment, along with what it means. But first, I want you to notice something else that's very, very important here in this encounter. This mysterious man identifies himself as the captain of the host of the Lord. Literally in the Hebrew, what he says is, I am the prince or chief or commander of Yahweh's army. Yahweh being the personal name of God that he revealed to Moses at the burning bush hundreds of years before. Now, there are a handful of cases in the Old Testament where when it talks about the host of the Lord, it's referring to the armies of Israel, the literal physical armies of Israel. But those are rare. Most of the time in the Old Testament, when we hear the host of the Lord being mentioned, what is being talked about is all the angels of heaven, organized, equipped, and ready to go out and fulfill the Lord's commands. And so this man says, I am the leader of this heavenly army. Some people think he means here an angel, literally himself. But that belief's undercut by what Joshua does in response. Okay, because what does Joshua do when this man identifies himself? Well, first of all, he believes him. I mean, if anybody can say that, right? But there's something about this man that convinces Joshua he's telling the truth. And what does Joshua do? He hits his face down into the dirt before this man, and he worships him. In other words, Joshua recognized that standing before him there in some way was God himself. Now, as Moses' former lieutenant, and as one of the guys who was there when those Ten Commandments were first brought down from that mountain, Joshua knew very well you don't bow down to worship angels. The Ten Commandments say, they start out, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. We're only to worship God. So it's not a regular angel here, which is basically just a minister of God's will. Joshua would only worship God alone. So what that means is Joshua recognized in this figure, in some mysterious sense, God was manifesting his presence in a physical way. Now, because God's a spirit, most of the time we can't see God, right? We're just not equipped. Our eyes don't operate on that spectrum. We can't see God unless God works in some way to reveal himself to us. There are a few occasions recorded in the Old Testament where God chose to reveal himself in just that way, where he appeared in some kind of physical form they could recognize. One of the clearest examples is in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 18, these three mysterious strangers that show up to meet with Abraham, who was Joshua's ancestor. And Abraham invites these strangers in to share a meal with him, and somewhere in the middle of that conversation, Abraham begins to figure out, well, wait a minute, these aren't ordinary people. And he begins to realize that one of these is God in disguise. And this stranger predicts the birth of Abraham's son, Isaac, and he also predicts the destruction of the city of Sodom. And that convinces Abraham that this was God. Now, we may not encounter God in a physical form. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever had an encounter with God like that. I would be scared to admit that, although I will say there have been a couple of weird things I've witnessed in my life. But more often than not, I believe there are times when God shows up in our situations. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus is having this conversation with this guy Nicodemus, and he compares the presence of God's Spirit to the wind. I referenced this a week or two ago. In John 3:8, Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it's coming or from where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, when God moves, you may not be able to literally see God, just like you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects God leaves in his passing, right? Here are some ways I've seen God show up in my circumstance. I've seen God show up in a building very similar to this, where nearly 100 teenagers were scattered along the altar weeping. Some of them weeping because they've just received Jesus as their Savior. Others because they're recommitting themselves to follow Him as Lord. And others because they're answering the call to ministry. I was one of those kids in that crowd all those years ago. And several of us ended up going to seminary together. Guys still serving in ministry today. I saw God show up on a Father's Day back around 1988 when a big, burly truck driver who for 30 years had only come to church to humor his wife and daughter. And the invitation is given. It wasn't even a salvation message. It was a Father's Day message. And when the invitation is given, this guy barely waits for the music to start. He is running down the aisle with tears pouring down his face. And it was real. Because for 6 months, this guy devoured the Bible. And every time he talked about that day for the next 6 months, this big, burly truck driver, the tears would begin to flow. He began to boohoo like a big baby because he was so grateful for the mercy that God had shown him on that day. I've seen God show up, along with some of you, in the obstetrics waiting room at Erlanger Hospital, when about 30 of us gathered to hold a prayer meeting on behalf of a young couple whose little baby had been born with some severe complications. Was God in that room? You tell me, those of you who were there. Now, that child, unfortunately, did not survive. But you know what? In her 3 days, I believe she touched more lives than most of us will touch in our whole lifetime. God showed up. More recently, I've seen God show up in this church in a big way. I don't like bringing up bad times, but this time last year, our church was hurting. Let's be honest. We were still limping from the disruption caused by the pandemic. And the stress at that time had also revealed some unresolved issues, some fault lines that lingered under the surface in this church for years. People were frustrated. They were scared. Our giving was drying up. We had empty staff positions. We couldn't even get people to apply for, much less fill. It seemed like every week we found out about somebody else that had gone out the back door. Some of those who were left decided, you know what? It's time we need to come together before we come apart. They began to focus more on calling upon the Lord than criticizing each other. Prayer groups began to form up. And we spent 3 months taking inspiration from a passage in Ezekiel 36, verses 33 through 36, and started begging God to regather what had been scattered, to rebuild what had been broken, to revive what had become desolate. Guess what? A year later, God has begun to answer some of those prayers. In fact, it was not too long after we began praying that. We began to notice that God was bringing some new faces our way. Some of those were old faces that had been gone for years. And all of a sudden, God had prompted them to come back to church. Huh, isn't it funny how that works out? Just this year, since January, we've had 15 people unite with this church. Seven of those have been by baptism. That's awesome. God has shown up. Our giving has stabilized, even begun to grow to the point where we are very close. We'll find out in our members' meeting next week. We are very close to hitting 100% of our budget target for our fiscal year. Most years, if we hit 90, we think we're doing pretty good. We've exceeded our goals for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and just a couple of weeks ago for the golden offering for Tennessee Missions. Blew right past them. We've brought on board a new staff member to work with our youth. Just when it looked like the pandemic had killed off our Good News Club, which we had worked for years to kind of get started, and finally the door had opened, we just get it running, the pandemic hits, and then we think, oh man, it's done. God opens the door, He raises up a new crew of leaders, He opens the door, and now they are reaching more kids than ever. God bless all of you ladies who work with that wonderful ministry. Our committees and teams who were stumbling around for so long, it seemed like all of us were in a daze and we just couldn't get any traction. Well, now those committees and teams finally appear to be waking up and starting to get back on track. We're starting to seat the biggest deacon body that we've seated in 4 years. It includes two brand new deacons that hopefully we're going to be ordaining next Sunday. I've seen God show up as I've approached people to serve in various capacities. People that, you know, for several times have told me no. And yet, God keeps bringing them up, and I would go to them. And this year, for some reason, I had this happen several times. I would go to people to ask them about serving on something. people that always told me no in the past, and they say, you know what? God's already been speaking to me about that, and this time I think I'm going to do it. God was showing up. He was going before. You ask me, is God here? God has been showing up in this church all year long. The question is, if God does show up, will we be tuned in enough to recognize it? This brings about the second lesson we can learn from Joshua's encounter. We should seek to align with God's agenda rather than seek to draft him into ours. Joshua asked this mysterious man, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And again, what is the answer? No. What does he mean? Well, see, so often we make our own plans and then we try to shoehorn God into them. God, we got this great plan. Won't you just bless it and then we'll take it from there. We forget. Sometimes God has plans of his own. And in this game, his hand always trumps ours. I want to share a couple of my favorite quotes with you this morning. Some of this is just for fun to give you a little insight into my thinking the last few years. But there's one that's very pertinent here. Both of these come from Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln led this nation through one of the biggest crises it has faced up to this point. Although we may be getting ready to head into another one, who knows. But I've really come to appreciate his leadership. And I came across this first one very early in the pandemic. I want you to remember how crazy it was back during that time. Okay, I don't think people fully appreciate, especially how difficult things were on pastors during that era. Because somehow at seminary, I missed the class where they taught you how to lead a church through a once-in-a-century pandemic. Now, apparently, they didn't offer that when I was there. And then I have one person telling me, well, this is all a bunch of hooey. We just need to keep going straight and just keep doing business as usual. And at the same time, I'd have somebody else over here say, Pastor, you really think it's safe for us to get together? I can't afford to catch this virus. And I have to serve as pastor to both of those people at the same time. And the government wasn't any help because every other day they're changing their guidance and their suggestions on the best way to handle this. And now we look back now and we know a lot of it, they were just making up at the seat of their pants. But trying to lead through all that. So very early on, I came across this quote. It's posted on my bulletin board right by my desk. I see it every day. And it's Abraham Lincoln talking about leading through the Civil War. And he says here, I do the very best I know how. The very best I can. And I mean to keep doing it until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what's set against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right would make a difference. That helped me keep perspective. For the last 4 years. That advice was invaluable to me, trying to help guide you through this period. The other Lincoln quote I want to share is one I've shared with you several times before, but it's much more germane to our topic this morning. During the Civil War, you know, there was a lot of religious sentiment on both sides of the divide, the North and the South. You had preachers running around very assured of the fact God was on their side. And somebody actually asked President Lincoln once, Mr. President, whose side do you really think God's on? Is God on our side? And this is what he said or replied. My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. For God is always right. There's an old expression, man preposes, God disposes. We can make our plans. We can set up our strategies. We can define our techniques. But in the end, we have to remember God always holds veto power over what we design. One of the hardest things for me personally during the pandemic was I'd spent 10 years up to that point trying to get things in place to get us just where I thought we needed to be according to all the experts and all according to God's word and what the experts say and what other people had experienced, trying to get the pieces into place so that we could help this church to grow and make an impact in this community. And we just get there and we're enjoying the fruit of that. And then God hits the stop button. And all that gets slowly stripped away. All those things we'd worked so hard to get into place one by one, they just get stripped away. It's like God paired us back to the core so he could do something different. And I believe for the last 10 or 11 months, we've been seeing that something different. It is so much better to seek God's guidance, to align with God's values, and to wait on God's timing instead of trying to draft him into ours. About this time last year, I put before you a strategy that was developed through a lot of prayer. And over the last year, we've accomplished some of the things on that list. One of the first things on that list we got into was that prayer campaign. Others we're still making progress on. We're not quite where I hope we'd be by this point, but you know what? God's in control. In a few cases, God's exercised his right to say, wait a minute, here's something else you hadn't considered. You need to look at this right now first. We still have a long way to go. We still have a lot of obstacles and challenges, but we're moving, I believe, in the right direction, and God has been blessing this church. Whatever good has happened in this church over the past year, God alone deserves the credit. That brings up a question, a very important question. How do we make sure we are pursuing God's agenda instead of ours? The answer is found in Joshua's response to this encounter with God. Three things that he did that I think we need to emulate. When God shows up in our circumstances, first of all, we should humble ourselves. When Joshua realizes who's standing before him, what does he do? He falls on his face and he bows down. We have to remember, none of this is about me. I really do appreciate the expressions of love and appreciation and support that I have received this week and today. I hadn't even opened the envelope yet, so I'm not going to do that until I get home probably. But thank you, okay? Just to be acknowledged, that's been a great encouragement to me. But it really ain't about me. Guess what? It ain't about you either. This is not my church. This is not your church. Not ultimately. This is Jesus' church. And it's his vote that counts. Everything rests on God. We need to remember that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we want to experience God's presence and see God's grace at work, we need to humble ourselves and listen and watch for him. James tells us, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. So we need to humble ourselves. The other thing that Joshua shows us is we need to submit to his authority. Joshua says to God, what is my Lord to say to his servant? Lord, just tell me what to do. We need to be open to hear what God is saying to us through his word and through his spirit. And let me remind you, what God says to us through his spirit will never contradict what he's already revealed in his word. And we have to be willing not only to hear that, we have to be willing to obey it. We can start with the things that are very clear. Jesus told us, love the Lord your God with all of our hearts, our souls, and our strength. And he also told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's a good place to start right there. Those two things, if we can get a handle on those two things, some of the other things maybe become more clear. In all things, we must move forward in faith, believing that if God's brought us to it, he's going to bring us through it. And the third thing is we need to respect God's holiness. Humble ourselves, submit to his authority, not submit to my authority, submit to his authority. And respect his holiness. God told Joshua to remove his sandals because the place where he was standing was holy ground. Wait a minute, I've heard that before somewhere. Where else have I heard that? Oh, back in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses found himself standing before that burning bush. And the voice of God came out and said, take off your shoes, Moses, for you're standing on holy ground. We have to recognize and keep in mind that God is holy. Treating God as holy means that we give him the weight he deserves. We could also use the words reverence or respect. If you've ever had firearm safety training, one of the first things they teach you is always treat a gun like it's loaded, right? Never point that gun towards anything you don't want to shoot, right? That's because you need to respect the destructive potential of that tool. Because if you don't, somebody could have a very bad day. Well, in a very similar way, we need to take God seriously. We need to stop acting as if he doesn't exist or that he doesn't matter. We need to stop pretending that we can relegate God to the background like some kind of accessory. He's not just a necklace you wear around your neck to look cool. He's not a bumper sticker that you slap on your car. We need to remember he is the Lord, the commander of heaven's armies. He represents power, and we need to treat that power with respect. We need to put God in the foreground where he belongs, and remember, he's God, we're not. We need to listen to and internalize the words of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, include God in everything you do. And we're told He will make your paths straight. 2,000 years ago, there was a group of people who thought they had God figured out. If you asked them, they were eagerly waiting for God to show up. Only they weren't really waiting in humility. They thought they had God all figured out. They knew exactly how He was going to show up, and they were eager to press Him in on their agenda. And then God threw them a curveball, because God showed up, but He didn't show up in the way they were expecting. He didn't come as a conquering prince. He snuck in the back door as a carpenter. And this carpenter went around dropping clues all over the place. He went around saying things only God has the right to say. But He backed them up by doing things only God had the power to do. Every sign indicated God is here. But because He didn't fit the narrow mold that they had prepared for God, they missed it. So many people missed it because He didn't fit their preconceptions or fulfill their agendas. Listen, church, when God shows up in our midst, will we be paying attention? Or are we going to be blinded by our own ideas and our own agendas? If we want to recognize when God's at work, we need to move ahead in humility, in obedience, and in reverence. When God shows up, are we going to be ready?
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautix.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.